The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. In teaching his disciples his prayer, Jesus also reminds them to focus on God's coming reign, God's mercy, and the strengthening of the community. Jesus encourages his disciples to childlike trust and persistence in prayer. I begin reading at verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Have you ever done knock-knock jokes? Do you know how they work? You do. Okay. I say knock-knock, and you say, "Who's there?" And I say, "Tank." And you say,
"Tank who?"
And I say, "You're welcome." Knock, knock.
Who is it?
Canoe.
Canoe who?
Canoe, you come play with me? Knock, knock.
Who is there?
Orange.
Aren't
you glad that's my last knock-knock joke? Do you know knock-knock jokes are just like prayer? In our lesson that Pastor read a moment ago, the disciples had asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And like Jesus did so many times, rather than give them a direct answer, he told them a story. And in his story today, he told them about a man who had a late evening, late night visitor, and they needed a snack. They needed something to eat. And so he goes running next door and he asks the man for a snack. Well, the man says, "I'm already in bed, leave me alone, go away." But what does the man do? Nope. He knocks again. And he knocks again. And he knocks again. Well, finally, the man in the house decides, "I better answer that door. He's going to wake up the whole neighborhood." So he answers the door and he gives the man a... Yeah, he does it. Prayer is the same way. And then Jesus went on to say, if you ask, it's going to be given. God is going to answer our prayers. Maybe not like we want right then, but he's going to answer prayer. And then he says, seek or search. And I think that probably means if we look hard enough inside the Bible, we're going to find things we need to know. And last he says, ask, see, knock. And when we knock, answers or someone's going to open the door for us. Isn't that a neat story? No more knock, knock, knocks. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for being there for us. Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever known anybody who was stubborn? Maybe you're pointing at your own self, huh? Sometimes I do that. But stubborn people are among us, and it's very difficult sometimes to have a discussion or a friendly argument with someone who is stubborn because they never back down. You can give them all the facts in the world that pertain to the discussion that you're having, and they won't listen to it. They'll pay no attention to it because their mind is made up. They won't deviate from it. They'll stick to their point, and that's that. And it is very frustrating sometimes when people are stubborn, and because it basically means there can be no change. And think about it. If stubborn people were always in control of everything, we'd still be living in caves. People with German ancestry have been known to be stubborn people. There's even a name for that, the square-headed Dutchman. You've probably heard that once or twice. But being stubborn is not limited only to German people. I think on every culture, every place, there are always stubborn people around. But I think even this stubbornness can be a gift from God. I think God can even use our stubbornness in bringing about the kingdom of God. For instance, consider our first lesson for today. Abraham in this lesson is very stubborn. God is about to destroy the city of Sodom, but Abraham doesn't want God to do that because Abraham's nephew Lot lives there with his family. And so Abraham is stubborn in pleading with God, not only once, but multiple times. When God says he'll save the city for 50 people, Abraham says, well, how about 45? God says, okay, 45, that's only five less. But Abraham doesn't stop there. He asks for 40, and then for 30, and then for 20, and then for 10. Abraham is stubborn in trying to save his nephew and his family. Eventually, God does not find 10 people in the city of Sodom who were righteous, and he destroys the city, but Lot and his family are allowed to escape. Another person in the Bible who was very stubborn was the person Job. God was testing Job, and Job became diseased. His children were lost or killed. He lost his cattle. He lost all his wealth. He lost all his prestige. His wife told him, just curse God and die. His friends told him, why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die? But Job was stubborn. He did not do that. Rather, instead, he continued to worship God. He remained faithful to God. Are you stubborn? And I think most of us have some sort of stubborn streak about us. And the question arises then, how do we use that stubbornness within us? And it may be God-given stubbornness. Do you use that stubbornness in order to save face, in order not to ever have to back down? Are you stubborn because you don't want to ever admit that you're wrong? Or maybe you're just simply stubborn because you want to annoy your spouse. We're stubborn for a number of different reasons, but I think that God wants us to use our stubbornness in order to remain faithful, to be stubborn in faith, to be stubborn in coming to worship, to be stubborn in coming to Sunday school. Don't let anything keep you from doing that. Be stubborn in reading the Bible. Be stubborn in your prayer life. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells the story of the neighbor who has a friend come late at night, as Beverly just told it once again then too, who needs some help from another neighbor. And he knocks on the door, but the neighbor won't open up because it's so late at night and says, I'm already in bed. But the man continues to knock on the door until he opens up. The neighbor is persistent. He is stubborn until things happen that need to happen. That's the way we are to use our stubbornness too, to be stubborn for God, to be stubborn for our faith, to be stubborn in helping to bring about the kingdom of God. Don't let anything else get in your way. Don't let anything else stop you. Be single-minded in that aspect. Jesus tells this story right after he teaches the disciples how to pray. And I think that's interesting because I think Jesus is calling us to be persistent, to be stubborn in our prayer life, to pray constantly. Jesus says, ask, and you will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God answers our prayers, maybe not always in the way that we expect or exactly when we expect it to happen, but God does answer our prayers, every prayer that we have. And we need to be persistent in that prayer life to continue on. If you stop and think about it, Jesus himself was somewhat stubborn. When Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, Jesus didn't give in. But he was stubborn in his obedience to God. He remained obedient to his Father. When Jesus was being pestered or when he was being tested or trying to be trapped by the religious leaders, again, Jesus was stubborn. He didn't cave in. He didn't give in. He didn't fall to the temptations of just simply arguing with them for argument's sake. Jesus remained stubborn. Faithful. He was stubborn in his obedience to the Father. Again, too, when it came time for him to go to the cross and the resurrection, he was stubborn. He was determined to go through with that plan of salvation that God had for us. And because of Christ, in his stubbornness, did go to that cross and that resurrection, we have been saved. We have that promise of eternal life to live with God forever. And if you stop and think about it, God himself is very stubborn. He's very stubborn in his love for us. That no matter what we do, no matter how we use our stubbornness, God still does love us. And God is always ready to forgive when we turn around and repent and turn ourselves back to God. God is stubborn in his love for us. And he calls us to use the stubbornness, that stubborn streak we have within us, to help build up that kingdom of God. Stubbornness a lot of times can be very frustrating when we see it in other people or when it's not used in the proper way. But God calls us to use that stubbornness to bring about the kingdom of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.